Amen.
Please share, Gareth.
Thank you for that. Hopefully sound is working properly now, and in due course, I'll be able to share my screen. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just look at scriptures briefly before I begin to talk a little bit about the work. I was reading just today in the first letter to Peter, and if we could turn there to chapter 1, it would be good just to read a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, by way of introduction, it's really verse 13 that I would like to speak about. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And then verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober at last your hope and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That verse 13 just stopped me as I read it and reminded me of three things we need to be focused on as we live out this Christian life. I've been greatly challenged in the last week about how the things that occupy our mind are so much a percentage of the day natural things, and that's not God's intention for us. Together with some of the men here, we've been reading through Pilgrim's Progress, and in that book there's a very clear realization of the need to think eternally, and this verse hints at that. But as well as that, we've got the things that we seek to do in terms of ministry, and the challenges in this present time are not small, and many of us just wish for things to go back to the way that they were, whenever we had some sort of a better handle on what was going on, and we weren't daily stretched in our use of technology and all these other things. And the reality is, they won't go back to the way that they were. Things are daily changed forever. And as we face these challenges, Peter reminds us, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. And that maybe seems like a phrase that we wouldn't use daily, but really he's talking about a mind that's ready, a mind that's ready to respond to this world. Not one that floats by and disengages with how things are, wishing for how it might be someday or how it was someday in the past, but a mind that is ready to engage with the challenges that are before us for the sake of the gospel. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, or watchful is really the term. So the first challenge is to engage with the mind. And the second challenge is to inquire with the eyes. Many of you perhaps do that already. You look around you and you assess the things that you see for the sake of the gospel. Where is the need? Where is the opportunity? What is God saying? How should I move to respond to that? But you know, there is the real risk that we are caught rather than inquiring with the eyes, letting the eyes wander. Too many news bulletins, too many Facebook feeds, too many whatever it is, and not enough inquiring with the eyes as to how things really are in the light of eternity. So we're challenged to engage with the mind, inquire with the eyes. And then the summary, the culmination of the verse is that we're to enlist with the heart. unless not in this world, because if we were to engage the mind and inquire with the eyes about trying to sort out problems in the here and now, it would be hopeless and desperately frustrating. But our end is not in this world. We enlist our hearts in what is to come, and we rest our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I find those verses encouraging as we do seek to reach young people and have a very specific set of challenges that seem to be beyond me sometimes as far as engaging with them. And seems that every day is a challenge trying to find the resource to fit a need and trying to meet those needs. But Peter is encouraging those things, that we don't sail by and we don't become aimless in the life that we are, but for the sake of the gospel, we engage the mind. We inquire around about us with the eyes and we enlist our hearts. And that's so important, that we don't become natural in our living, that it's all about the here and now. We're very firmly enlisted in another kingdom, and our hearts are set there. Trust that those few thoughts from the scriptures are an encouragement to us in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to just share my screen, and hopefully that's gonna work for us, because I have two screens. Maybe somebody could just give me a thumbs up, Michael. Can you see my screen? Good job. Okay. It would have been my pleasure to come to Northampton this weekend. Then somewhere in the middle of last year, whenever we heard that we were expecting a baby 3 weeks before I was due to come to the conference, it became a little questionable how things were going to look. But the way it has worked out, I was able to be home this weekend and not too far away, because just on Friday last week, we had another baby. And so it's been a kind of a busy time. I think to many people in Northampton, the work of Postal Bible School is familiar to some degree. It is something that I took over, or my wife and I, and it's definitely not me on my own. My wife and I took over from my parents about 3 or 4 years ago, and Dad would have been a frequent visitor over there. And indeed, both Dad and Mum are still involved in the work. It has been our privilege to work hand in hand over these recent times. And it is a team effort, really. So many of you are familiar with Mum and Dad and familiar with the work. And so I'll set a little bit of ground just for anybody that doesn't know that, and then talk about some of the things that are going on at the present time. Over here. This is our little family as of last Sunday, whenever we got Margaret and baby Lauren home from hospital. So Rachel's beside me and Eva's beside Margaret. We live and work in counties Cavan and Monaghan, which on the map on your screen is we're kind of right in the centre of the green coloured area. And we sit just below the border with Northern Ireland. And from there, we're able to serve quite a bit of the country. I've been involved in Postal Bible School since my parents moved here when I was 11 years old. And I've taken various parts of responsibility over the years. But about 4 years ago, we felt God working and saying that he would be pleased if we would take over that work from my parents, so we did that. I continue to work a little bit in construction and in manufacturing. That was my background, and I've continued to do that on a part-time basis. And then with Margaret, we run the work of Postal Bible School and help with some other staff. So from Cavan and Monaghan, we reach the majority of the 26 counties of the south of Ireland. We've got a lot of students in the local area, and in Donegal, that's to the northwest of Ulster, where my wife is from. And then a kind of a scattering of people engaging in the lessons across the country. Our core work is a Bible literature work where we distribute printed lessons. Bible time lessons are used here in Ireland and elsewhere. They originated in Ireland as part of the work of Postal Bible School that Bert and Wendy began nearly 60 years ago, and BES continued to develop those resources, use them in England, Ireland and elsewhere, and we manage the centre here in Ireland that distributes those lessons both to families who do them instead of Sunday school lessons, churches who use them in their Sunday school lessons, and schools who use them as part of their religious education. And so that's the main part of that work, is distributing those lessons, taking them back, marking, corresponding with the students. We'll speak a bit more about numbers and things like that in a minute. Before we ever took over the work of Postal Bible School, Margaret and I were involved in various things, not trying to be too eager to take over the work of Postal Bible School, because we didn't feel like we just automatically would slot into that role. But over those few years before we took over Postal Bible School, the Lord was calling us, and both of us felt a very firm calling primarily to this work of discipleship. That is to engage with people and to go on a journey with them in terms of going into a deeper understanding of their relationship with God and just the journey of faith. As we thought about that and give a lot of time to it, we very often hear that verse taken, go and make disciples, and we feel like that go is the thing that we need to do first. We need to leave the place that we are and go elsewhere in order to carry the gospel. But as we studied and sought to understand what that meant, we felt very firmly that the translation that's on the bottom of the screen was actually more accurate, which says, as you go, make disciples. And we felt that God was asking us in everything that we do, whether it's in running summer camps or just our daily jobs and having people to our home and meeting with neighbors, the kind of calling in life is that as we go and do things, we make disciples. And as we do that, you can't just start from nothing, but we I'm an engineer by profession, and those who are from that profession might understand the need for diagrams. But this little diagram just kind of explains that, first of all, there's a need for community. We need people that we can engage with. If you don't make disciples of the first person you meet in the street, you've got to engage with people. And so we build community. And in that community that we're working in day and daily, we seek to share our story. And then if we're privileged to share our home and share our table, we seek to share our faith. And some of those people who have joined us in the faith over the years have not only become believers but become co-workers, and they not only share faith but share a calling. And it's a kind of a journey. And as we looked at that calling for our lives, we saw that Postal Bible School already had a huge number of students that were an opportunity for us to start our work of discipleship in that community that God had left us opportunity. As we came to the work of Postal Bible School, we came to an Ireland that was a very different place, or we didn't move, we're exactly the same place, but the Ireland that we engage with now is very different to the Ireland that Mum and Dad engaged with 25 years ago, and further more removed from what Bert and Wendy engaged with in the early days of Postal Bible School. The traditional Ireland has been replaced by a very, very consumer society. No longer as sympathetic to biblical story or to the religious faiths, very much consumed with promoting self. Ireland has changed that much, and then we know that in the last year the circumstances around COVID have substantially altered things again. We've been encouraged to keep our distance, and the hope is that for some people, that has made them hungrier for the connection of church and for God and for salvation, and even God's working around them has wakened them. But for many, it has just polarized any kind of token gesture at church has been forgotten, and it has been filled up with TV time and other things. The circumstances of the last year and the coming months definitely look set to challenge what we're doing, even in the work which we do, which is predominantly around schools. The lack of attendance at schools has affected continuity, and just the whole rhythm of things has kind of been thrown off a little bit. The core work of Postal Bible School, we call it PBS for short, the core works, we distribute the Bible lessons monthly, we coordinate the marketing of those lessons and communicate with the students, we offer prizes and rewards for the students, and we visit with them in a normal year to be able to distribute those prizes. We run a summer camp, and then we do all the associated administration work with that. And so the picture on the right is just three of the guys that had given some time voluntarily to pack up prizes and get ready for some of our prize givings the last time we were on the road. What we do in partnership with the local assembly in Drummond, County Monaghan. That number around that table, largely, that is the size of the assembly. We were together for a meal. The works are not directly linked, but there's a huge amount of support from the assembly for what we do. And I won't really speak tonight about the assembly work specifically. There are other children's works and gospel works connected with that, but tonight I'll focus my attention mainly on the work of Postal Bible School. In the administration, we handle an awful lot of just daily routine. Dad and Mum are on the top right. Mum continues to do a lot of the editorial work to correct lessons and make sure that new issues of lessons are spot on. Dad, whose training is in finance, continues to look after a lot of the record keeping in the office. And then in the picture on the left, Annie is standing in the bus. And Annie continues to work. She's a local believer from the town, and she does an awful lot of the office work. Margaret is beside me, and then Catherine Duffield is from Canada, and she spent a year and a half with us until coronavirus broke out, really, and was interested in coming to Ireland, but has since returned. And so Annie and Margaret do the majority of the office work. We've got my next picture. This was Catherine again, and Nicola was, so Catherine came from a year and a half from Canada to work in the office. Nicola came to do some practical stuff in the storeroom and helping with the prize givings. She came for a year from Germany. And then Annie and Mum are beside them. And the pigeonholes on the left are kind of fairly familiar sight in the office. That stuff gets cycled around each month, in, out, and back out again, in, and back again. And so the help has been exceptionally useful in various forms. Many times we don't know where the help is going to come from, and you kind of tell God things like, God, I really need to know this by such and such a date, and almost always God says, well, my time's a wee bit different to yours, but he hasn't failed to provide us with the help that's needed. And just before Margaret was due to go off on maternity leave, we were quite concerned about what the cover would be. This young man is Nishal Abraham. He came to Ireland to study computing, and he had, since he finished his degree back in the summertime, he'd been unoccupied, and So we asked him, would he consider helping us? And Nichol has come for 6 months to help us while Margaret is unable to be in the office with any real degree of constancy. And so Nichol's been able to bring a new dimension to the team as well as handling lots of routine work. He gets thrown all the computer questions that we've been saving up for quite some time. And in the whole sphere of making disciples and encouraging those younger people to pursue mission and to pursue evangelism and to pursue just engagement for the sake of the gospel, it's a real privilege of ours to be able to bring them alongside us. And that is one of the things that we seek to do through the work. And we've sought to promote that idea that people would come and spend time with us, lend their hand and grow in their faith as they do so. And as we do that, the needs seem to multiply, and at the minute we face lots of digital needs as well as other things. But everything from simply the need for people to give a few hours, a few times a month, just to mark a set of lessons for a school or for a small group, maybe for a family, right up to people to be able to create digital content, to teachers to be able to develop lessons, and all sorts of needs. We're constantly seeking the Lord and seeking opportunity to allow others to come alongside us, maybe for a year out from school or a year out from a career. And we do see that the coming 12 months is very important for that, as some of the digital needs have changed now permanently. Schools will rely much more on online resources than ever they have before, and so we need to work to try and create those things. And so perhaps speaking to somebody tonight who is interested in helping in some way, or perhaps looking for a change for a year and perhaps thinking that that something like this might be suitable, we'd love to talk to you and explore as to whether some of the opportunities here are useful for you and a good fit. The work is predominantly a school's work. We've almost 4,500 students, and that's in nearly 60 schools. Sadly, the work is in decline, and we've seen those numbers eroded a little over the most recent years as there comes a more secular agenda, not only to society, but to education. And as time pressures come on other aspects of the teaching curriculum, and parents are less inclined to want their children to have an understanding of God's word, we do see pressures to try and press out the lessons. And for that reason, one of the things that we try to do as we move toward a digital world is that there are requirements for using digital resources in teaching. And so if we can help to bridge that divide, perhaps we can strengthen the work in the schools. It's our privilege to go and meet most of those students in an ordinary year. We have prize givens like this, 50 of them all over the countryside. And even on those occasions, it's our privilege to take some of the young people with us to help out with those. Some of the young men are helping to sing choruses with the kids and help Margaret check in some of the kids as they arrive. And so we've missed that opportunity. The tail end of it was cut away on us last year, and we're going to miss it entirely this year. And we pray that the work weathers that storm, because it's so important to be able to engage face to face with people, and we look forward to those opportunities again. The prize givens is an exceptionally busy time in some ways. We're grateful that this year we don't have the same amount of traveling to do. This was a visit to one of the biggest schools in Dublin that we visit. And so we needed lots of help. We have to leave the house at 5:30 or something like that in the morning to be in the middle of Dublin in time. But in this picture, we've got folks from the office. We've got interns. We've got a student on placement for the week from school. And we've got assembly members all lending a hand for that morning of a trip to Dublin to meet with the students. So we're very thankful for all those people that engage and help with that. The work of summer camp is one of the highlights of the year. It's that because in a sense it kind of extends the family home and allows us and many other believers to live out their faith for the week in front of young people and to give them a taste of what it is to live in Christian community. And we see so much encouragement through those weeks as kids who perhaps had no contact with the gospel start lessons in school and decide to come to summer camp. And we've seen many over the years who've actually come to faith in Jesus Christ and grow year after year as they come to summer camp. Last year, unfortunately, summer camp wasn't a possibility. And our decision was that we asked maybe 30 different people who had been involved in summer camp over the years to contribute some daily readings for the young people. And we put those together and published a proper book. And we were able to send it out to all the young people that were camp age and that had been to camp in the past. And some other people have also distributed it with over 1,000 copies published now. And it's just been a simple, easy stepping stone for someone to get back into the habit of reading a little bit of God's word daily and also engaging a little bit of biography on each person who's written an article for it. And it has been well received and it seems to have been encouragement. And we trust that maybe God still continues to bless the work that went into that. But that took many, many months of last summer or the early part of last summer just to get that pulled together in time for going out to kids for camp. Please pray for camp in particular this year. It currently is impossible to make plans for the summer, but that work of engaging with people directly is so, so important. And we really feel like we need in some way, even if it's in smaller numbers, to be able to start back to that camp work this summer. But we also need a little bit of headspace and that we would need several months of some idea of what was happening to be able to plan those things. And then we would need the Lord's hand and protection during those weeks. So just over the coming weeks and months, I would really be grateful if you could pray that the work of summer camp is there's clarity on what should be done and that there's opportunity, particularly for new young people, those who would have been starting camp in these last 2 years, to get some sense of a flavour of what it is to sit under God's word daily for the course of the week and to meet with believers. We run a work called The Shed, that takes place at our house under normal circumstances. And nearly 2 years ago, we were able to extend the house and have a large room in the attic where we can have nearly 50 teenagers. And it's really encouraging to be able to spend time with them and to share God's word with them, to encourage them in the Christian faith. And it's a great bridge for camp kids and others. This year, again, that work has been kind of pulled apart, and we sought where we could to do socially distanced walks. The day that this photograph was taken, we had to split up and go to three different forest parks with three different groups because everybody was limited to a 5 kilometer radius from their house. But we still felt it was important to try and do something, and we've sought to release little messages online and meet up with the kids where it's been possible. And we trust again, maybe in another month's time, so we'll meet those kids online next weekend. And then we plan to do that through January, February and March. And hopefully by that stage, there might be permission to do some other things. But the young people really do struggle. They're forced into a kind of life that I would not have wanted to lead whenever I was that age. And they have their own pressures we pray for them. And we pray that particularly those that already have faith develop as believers, and maybe that some recognize the need for Christ and all this. We seek where possible to try and engage them. Once they get a little bit older, we try and do more things with them than just meet with them. And for many of the young lads, we try and do work with them. Whenever we converted the attic to be able to hold our meetings there, a lot of the young lads came along, and some of them were believers and some of them weren't. But we try to spend time with them at things like that. And some of them have shown strength and gone forward, and some of them have not yet put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we really pray that as they, some of these lads become men and make their own decisions in life, that they wouldn't leave it too late. But we do thank God for those that show an interest and come back now to help and do what they can to be part of the team that run Shed. The kind of after Shed, we run another work which deals with slightly older people in their late teens and 20s who are believers and who have a desire to know more about God's word, to meet together and to dig deep into God's word. And that has been through that work we've been encouraged to see many young people grow in faith and seen several come forward even in the local assembly to ask for baptism. And it's been our joy to be able to baptize quite a number of young believers, but the crowd in the picture are scattered not just in Drum but over a good part of the country. And pray for them as they face their own challenges, and even just the lack of meeting of churches. We pray that they would be able to come through this stronger in their faith and encouraged in the Lord Jesus. And we've continued to meet with them and been very encouraged by the number who've actually attended online events as we've taught through scripture now for nearly a year online step. The step program involves 3 weekends in the year, usually January, June and November, and it's a time for really digging deep into God's word and seeking to get into passages like you might do at a conference but not in the normal routine of church. We do that at Castle Daly Manor, usually down in County Westmeath, right in the very centre of Ireland. And even places like that, as you pray for the work in Ireland, we have very few camp centres, and places like this have had their own struggles in the last year as they haven't been able to take in groups and they've had no income. The challenges in places like that have been quite serious, and as we would look to return into that kind of work, they're a very key resource. So we pray for them. The last real step weekend that we had in person, it was an encouragement. Daniel was there at the front doing the teaching, and Daniel was one of those who was one of the attendees at early step weekends 6 or 7 years ago. And it was encouragement to have several of the young lads that have come up through that teaching program actually be part of expounding the scriptures over the weekend. Daniel, who's speaking there, is actually now, he and his wife are preparing for missionary service in India, is the hope. So you could pray for Daniel and Diane. They met at Postal Bible School camp, and both have grown as believers through that work over the years. We had to go to online teaching. That was one of the first challenges of lockdown. I had committed myself to teach the whole book of Psalms over a step weekend in June. And my early lockdown last year was spent in the Word of God. I was very grateful for the time to be able to look at the book of Psalms. But our speakers have considerable challenges as we try to do things that are not normally possible in one or two teaching sessions and really get a grip of big books of scripture and what they do and what purpose they have. Many of you have prayed over the last couple of years as we renovated a building, which we call number 5. It's number 5 on Cavan Street in Coothill. It looked like this when we purchased it a couple of years ago. We were very grateful that God provided it. And yet when we moved in, it was one of few buildings that were available in the town. It needed considerable work to try and put it into shape. The structure was fine, but there were lots of problems with plumbing and electric and plaster. And really only in the last number of months, at the end of the summertime, we finally got the last few things done. We have an apartment upstairs. You can see Catherine in the top left. a library on the bottom left, and then that's the main office. And then downstairs we also have some storage space for all our prizes, and it's been an excellent place to kind of be able to coordinate things from. It means the office is no longer in mum and dad's home, and it's not in our home, which allows a little bit of independence. This is the outside of the building, which can only get painted and decorated at the very last, but we're glad now also to be able to have a face in the town where people recognise who we are, and perhaps in different times, once we get out of COVID, we might be able to invite some of our neighbours in and just people to come and visit us a little bit more freely in the town. This has been a very different year, and it has been challenging, not least in this idea of seeking to make disciples, which is so much about engagement. The community that we've been a part of has been shaken by what has happened, and it has been a very challenging year. It seems to have been one set of challenges after another as we try to continue to engage in some way, but find it more difficult. We've done that over the year with lots of Zoom calls. We published the little book, and we seek to move the teaching online. And we trust that God blesses those things, and we appreciate your prayers as we continue to do that. One of the other challenges that really has been on the table for quite a long time has been this idea of embracing the digital opportunities for Postal Bible School. Postal Bible School has been a paper-based course for a very long time, and it has served that well and continues to do a great job in the circumstances in schools. And yet, even this lockdown has shown how important it is to be able to have digital resources available. And we have recognized that need for several years now, that we need to consider how things are going to look for teaching these Bible lessons in a similar system, where we have a center where we try to engage with the students, not just dispatch the lessons, but try and keep some sort of contact and engagement, and yet do that on a digital platform. As we've thought about those needs, we of course found this year that what's been on the back burner for a long time has been knocked forward considerably by coronavirus. We joined a digital education conference based in Google back in September time. It was the second year we'd done that, and some of the school teachers reckoned that they said the first 6 weeks of COVID had pushed educational innovation in the kind of online resources, pushed it forward about 10 years. And I think that's been borne out in a lot of places, and it means that we do need to be very quickly moving towards having things, maybe not all of our resources, but having ways that we can do things online. And that's not, so we can do some things online, but it's a case of growing our skill base in that. It's a case of having a vision for what exactly needs to be done. And then a case of getting the work done after kind of the vision and the plan are in place. We've tried to frame the most important projects so that we can be working on those, as well as keeping the routine work. And I suppose in many ways over the last year, it has broken down with Margaret largely looking after the administration work, and I have had to try and hide myself off to be able to work on some of the new things that we need to be doing. And those things in the last year have involved trying to blend the delivery, trying to keep some contact, but keep our distance from a point of view of keeping COVID at bay. It has thought about online lessons for teens, trying to do digital assemblies for schools. And then the other thing that probably maximizes our advantage is if we can cross-curricular teach. So if we can teach things that are in the Bible, but also in other parts of the curriculum, teach about justice, teach about history, teach about other things that allow us to explain that the lessons we teach are not just about God's word, but that they also relate that to some of the other things that are going on in young people's education. We've tried to put together a couple of small teams, and I'm coming to a close now, but I want to talk about two projects that we have really been heavily involved in the year that in the 6 or 8 months that have just gone past. And this is our struggle as we seek to engage our minds and apply our minds to the need and opportunity that is in front of us. The first of those things is to try and develop school assemblies that back up the lessons. So our lessons will take a Bible story each month and break that down into 4 lessons to be done each of the 4 weeks. And they may be on the life of Daniel, they may be on the miracles, they may be on the plagues and the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And so we have sought to take the lesson in that month and do a video series that reviews and brings out the main lessons, reinforces the message, and puts the kids over again. Have they got the big point of what the lesson was seeking to teach them? And so this little team that we met up in a socially distanced room only once over the course of the plan, and all the other meetings have had to be over Zoom. But we've 2 school teachers and then a kind of digital creator, and all of us are learning. None of us are professionals at this, but we are trying to learn how to put things together. And so each month we've put together something like this that the kids can click through a little series. We'll start maybe at a monument or something that they'll recognize in Ireland, or tell something about Irish history to link to the story of Daniel. We'll link it then, this one, because it was January's. You can find this on our website. It'll talk about the New Year's resolutions that people make and how Daniel made a very particular resolve to follow God, and then tell the remainder of the stories with a series of videos rather than one long message. It seeks to be short, little 3 to 5 minute videos that link together to make up a school assembly. And certainly there's 20 or 30 people using those in schools across the country. We would imagine that will probably increase over the coming months. It's been something we did for the lockdown, and we need to seek God's wisdom as to whether that's something that has a long-term opportunity to actually put our faces on a screen in the classroom, reinforcing the message, as well as just doing it on paper. And God, I'm sure, will guide us in that. There are, for each 40 minutes of assembly or 30 minutes of assembly, there are multiples of that in terms of preparation work, perhaps a couple of days just in editing videos and putting them together, and another couple of days in creating content. It really is a big demand, and one that I don't particularly feel like I'm equipped for. I feel like I was to grips with the technology that was there 18 or 20 years ago, I'm really struggling and trusting God to provide people around me and for the team to be able to work together. But we're very pleased with what God has given us and how God has allowed people to devote their time to it. We trust that God continues to use that and guide. The even bigger challenge that we have been looking at has been developing wholly online lessons. In the picture, you may recognize some faces. On the left-hand side of the picture are Bert and Wendy Gray, who began the work of Postal Bible School and who continue to be supportive of all that's done. We met them at the BES conference about 2 years ago or a little bit more. And on the right-hand side of the table, nearest the camera, is Holly Dobson. Holly works from the States and works with another lesson provider in Ireland called National Bible Study Club. Both of us have paper-based resources, we have decided together to work on a pilot project to try and put a digital slant, an online slant, something that can be used to be very interactive in the teaching of the lessons. So I suppose that we've got seven between us. We've probably over 500 different lessons, which would all need to be moved online. And it's not simply a case of taking something and typing it up and putting it online. Whenever you go to learn online, there are a whole lot of things change, and people tend to want to be engaging with video content, which needs to be created. And then the questioning styles, some of them can be self-answering, and some of the deeper questions need somebody to be able to type and then somebody to read it and come back with a response. So all those things have had to be considered, and we decided that we would start by looking at a series of lessons for teenagers as a kind of an experiment to see how we could get our minds around online learning. We'd started this before COVID ever hit, and then whenever COVID went, or whenever we went through the summertime, we decided we would really try and put a focus on getting a couple of lessons done in 2020. And so we did that just before Christmas. We got two lessons on the life of Joseph completed as trials, and those are just kind of in a review stage at the minute. So the introduction, not used to talking this much at one go, that's why I'm getting hoarse. Lesson one is on the left-hand side, where Ron Hampton gives a little bit of an explanation about how he grew up with brothers and the kind of things that went on in his house. And then it tells the story of Joseph and his brothers and the dreams. And then it's followed by a series of questions. On the right-hand side, we begin at Castle Daly Manor, explaining a little bit about how a big mansion house used to work with servants. And then we link to the story of Joseph and tell the story of how he was sold into Potiphar's house and how he was there as a servant. An exemplary servant, and then again we go from there to read the Bible passage and to answer questions. But all of this takes quite a lot of planning, and it really is a considerable challenge. One that, if we're going to roll it out to as many lessons as we have opportunity to, it is going to require more help than just the few people that are engaging at the minute. That is been Holly and her, Frank, who works with her, and Nichol and myself, who've done the majority of this. So now that we kind of have a framework, there's a huge amount of work to be doing, and we're praying that the Lord would guide us how to proceed, and whether there's anybody to come and work alongside us on that. I suppose just in summary, kind of highlight four things maybe to remember in your prayers. On the top left, I've put the picture of camp again. Please remember the young people. There have over the years been just young people who have come to camp. We had no idea who they were the first day we met them. They were just a name on a page that had been a student in a school. And by the end of that week, and maybe by the end of camp the next year and the following year, we'd really begun to engage with them, learn to love them and understand them to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that because they were able to come to camp and see some of the Lord's people at work and some of the Lord's word. We long for that opportunity again for young people to have camp as that stepping stone to faith. On the bottom left-hand side, I've got the picture of a classroom. Remember the work among the schools and the fact that currently in Ireland, the schools are closed. They're trying to teach online. Some schools have decided because they're teaching online, they're going to halt the work post the Bible school in the schools. Others are sending out the lessons to the homes where the parents are doing them with the kids and possibly even watching the online assemblies with the kids. And on the one side, there's opportunity to reach others. On the other side, there's the risk that the discontinuity perhaps causes people to be less interested in using the Postal Bible School resource in schools. So please pray for the schools at this time. The top right, I've put the team. We do continue to pray both for the development work, for the even the part-time work of marking lessons in their own homes, and for the administration of the office. Nichol has given us 6 months, and may even stay a little longer, I'm not sure. But we have our own circumstances to try and consider as we understand how much Margaret is able to come back in the office after Lauren is a few months old. It is our joy to be part of the work, and it's not like a normal job where maternity leaves you just means you just walk out of the office and leave it behind. But there are challenges, and we've been blessed that as we've taken it over, even as mum and dad has continued to stand alongside us and many, many others, it has been a teamwork. And we just look to the Lord to continue to strengthen that team and to provide for the needs as we get an opportunity to work on them. And the final thing is just to really pray about the digital needs that there are. And it's one of those things where you kind of have to keep moving forward and learning a little bit at a time. Probably if we don't move forward with digital lessons and meeting those needs very soon, the reality is that the demise of paperwork will happen in one form or another, and the work will shrink. It may shrink anyway, but we seek to continue to try and find whether it's ones and twos or bigger numbers. And we look for that opportunity to engage with people. And we feel that digital lessons may even improve that in terms of students and teachers being able to interact more quickly and to ask a question and get an answer within a few days, rather than the postal system where you ask a lesson, a question, and you send it in at the end of the month and you mightn't hear for 4 or 5 weeks how you've got on that paper. So we pray that it actually reinforces social interaction rather than making things grow more distant. So we pray that we're very grateful for your interest, and we'd ask you to remember us in those things and all the other aspects of the work as we simply seek to make the biblical message known and encourage the reading of the Bible and the study of the Bible among young people in particular. So hopefully that has been a little bit interesting and a little bit engaging about what we're doing. And I don't know if there'll be an opportunity in a moment or two to ask questions, or certainly you can get in contact with us if you have things that you want to ask about what we're doing. But I think if I just close with a wee word of prayer, I think that's the way we're going to work. And then I'll hand back over to the guys.